Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm so glad you chose to join us. I think we're going to have a great dialogue tonight. The topic is Write from God, Write Your Bestseller in a Weekend, and our guest is Tom Bird. You know, this human experience we're all having is, I find it the most curious experience because of how deep we are as an individual. And what I mean by that is so often we can get caught up in our life and we're stuck in our head a little bit and we're mentally managing our day-to-day events and strategizing how we're going to proceed into the future. And that's kind of a mental idea, a mental snapshot of what it means to be a human. But as our longtime listeners know on this show, we go way beyond the norm in the sense that your heart has such an incredible resource of wisdom, an understanding, if you will, of who you are and your interaction or role with your life and the people around you. And then there's your soul and the idea of your soul having a dream, a vision, an idea of what your life can be that was there perhaps from even before you were even born. And then poof, here we are in body. We're having this human experience. And how do you manage that balance of not living completely in your head and creating an opportunity for your heart and your soul to show up in your everyday life? In fact, even in what might be seen as the mundane aspects of your life, your heart and your soul have this perspective, I suggest, that transcends any condition, worry, or concern your mind might have for your life. And I always like to serenade my soul in the sense of shutting my mind up, getting out of my own way, being quiet, being still, and ask, you know, like, what is it? What is your idea of my life? I mean, I'm talking to me, basically, that higher wisdom in me. Show me glimpses of where I'm going and what's coming down the pike. And, you know, I've been doing this for a while now, and the perspective of the soul is so vast. And we can get, you know, these one-shot glimpses of it where out of the blue we have this aha moment, or the beam of light comes down from the heavens and the clouds part and the divine smiles upon us. But you sit there and you serenade your heart and your soul, and then quiet your mind and create a portal, a temporal opening in the busyness of who you are, and just be still and listen. The more you do that on a day-to-day basis, it's like you get to know your soul at a deeper and deeper level. And the deeper you go in who you are, in other words, the more time you spend honing, aligning that authentic you that was there from the beginning, before you had an ego, the day you were born, that divinity of you, the more you can tap into that on a day-to-day basis. I tell you what, this really deep sense of peace like palatable piece. You can cut it and fill a bucket full of it and fill your house full of it and fill your heart full of it. There's such peace in that knowingness of who you are. And when you look at the media and it seems like a clown show for some of this election bantering here in the United States, you're serving humanity in a very big way by being a point of presence, a point of peace. I always like the story of Gandhi. The British military showed up and Gandhi put on peace, and it wasn't a cakewalk, but peace was more powerful than even the military might of the British Empire. So don't underestimate the power of using your own persona as a portal of peace in these very trying times. We all have a purpose. We all have a reason behind our life. And I think our show tonight's going to really showcase what it means to show up for that. I really liked Tom's perspective about this process of writing. Tom Bird is a best-selling author, and according to Paul McCarthy, legendary editor to 9 number one New York Times best-selling authors, the top writing coach in the world. Through his unique spiritual approach, Tom leads hundreds of would-be authors to complete the writing of their books in a weekend. Excuses be gone, a weekend. In the past 2 years, 43 of those authors found homes on Amazon bestsellers list. He teaches writing from the perspective, I love this, of a divine rite of passage, and how writing through this divine method taps into the divine that we all have within us, thus transforming the lives of the reader and the author alike. Please join me in welcoming Tom to the show. Welcome to Tom. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thanks, Les. It's a pleasure to be here.
So
I want to first of all start off by saying that I will be coming to Colorado this September, last weekend, to hold one of my retreats in the Denver area.
Oh, very nice. That's September 29th through October 2nd. Is that right?
Exactly. Thanks for knowing that, Les.
You bet. Well, that's nice. When you come to Colorado, is that going to be Denver or Boulder? Or?
It's going to be the Evergreen area.
Okay.
There's a few hotels out in the Evergreen area. Yeah, so we'll be out in Evergreen for the retreat, and it'll start on a Thursday night and go through Sunday afternoon.
And Evergreen's just outside of Denver, so if you've got the writing itch, that would be a great way to engage the process. Well, Tom, can you tell us how you got into this process of writing and working with authors?
Sure, Les, I'd be happy to. I'd love to. I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, to a blue-collar family, and I knew at the age of 4 years old what I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to write books. In fact, I knew I wanted to write books before I could literally read them. And I tried every conventional route to becoming the author I was meant to be. You know, I picked up a few degrees from college and wrote articles, studied best-selling authors, read a gazillion books on writing. And I got a job right out of college as a publicist for the Pittsburgh Pirates, a big league baseball team. And when I was with the team, we were really good. In fact, we won the World Series my first year there. So I got exposure to all kinds of brilliant writers, best-selling authors who followed our team and wanted to be part of our charismatic experience. So I studied them and asked them the question, how do I become a best-selling author? No one seemed to know. But long story short, about my fourth year with the Pirates, I was not a happy camper because it was a great job for somebody that wanted a job, but I want to be an author, and I wasn't doing that. And I came home one night late after a game, and I had a mini nervous breakdown. Les, it was kind of embarrassing. I'm glad no one else was there. I just started crying uncontrollably. I didn't know why I was crying. I was just sobbing uncontrollably. And, you know, I didn't have any logistical reason to say, well, like somebody just ran over my foot or my girlfriend just broke up with me, nothing like that. I was just crying uncontrollably for about 35 minutes. I just kind of gave into the experience, realized at some point, hopefully, well, the next morning it would clear. And after about 35 minutes, it did clear, and I was in a deep, connected spiritual state. And what I realized, I was crying for myself. I was crying for myself because I sold myself short about being an author and sold myself to a job that everyone wanted but me. And so I was very desperate at that time. It wasn't that I hadn't tried to become an author. Man, I devoted my life to it. But it seemed like the more that I learned, the further I got away from success, the harder things became. So I just got down on my knees that night, and desperation led me to drop to my knees, not faith. And soon learned that in writing circles, desperation is the forefather of faith. I dropped to my knees and just said, God, I really want to do this. I've tried to do this. I really think you want me to do it, but I swear there's no one down here who knows how to do it. I swear I talked to everybody, I read every book I could find, and there's no easy route. And I know there's an easy route because I'm meant to do this. And if you show me how to do this, how to be the author I already am, and how to unleash that author in a profitable way, I promise you I'll spend the rest of my life teaching other people what you teach me through whatever mode of communication you choose to communicate with me through. So you got to watch what you pray for. 2.5 days later, woke up in the middle of the night, half in a dream state, half in a waking state, and I could see exactly where I was and what I needed to do to become the author that I felt that I already was inside. So I put into play what I saw in that vision, which was, to be honest with you, was about 95% different, completely different, when I'd learned, been read, or been taught. I put that into play, sold my first book 4 weeks later, tripled my salary, quit my job, and started teaching and writing. And so I started teaching out of obligation less, I made a promise to God, man. And it happened all so quickly that I couldn't plead forgetfulness. Oh, yeah, I think I remember making that promise several years ago. Was that me? It was happened 4 weeks, less than a month ago, was a month before. So I thought, oh, shoot. I said I'd share this method with other people, and I'm not even sure what the method is, but maybe if people ask me enough questions, they'll pull it out of me. And we'll both know that. So I started teaching at the University of Pittsburgh, and I was really anticipating that I'd be such a failure that God would be negotiating with me. Hey, Tom, listen, never talk to anyone else about writing. We'll give you 10 bestsellers in 2 years. But what I found out was that the world is just overstocked with closet authors. I didn't realize that so many people wanted to write until I started teaching about it. And these are proven people. These are successful people who are used to success, highly motivated, functional, intelligent, well-to-do people who couldn't succeed as writers. So I saw right then and there, man, maybe I'm meant to do this stuff. Maybe God led me to my frustration to make this pledge to do his work as an instructor, as a mentor. So about that time, Les, I went from being the teacher to the student. Even though I was a professor at the most universities, at over 120 universities, I was still really learning from my students what I didn't know about what I was teaching, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so, sure.
Yeah. So that was 32 years ago, Les. And there's a few things that I'd like to share with your audience tonight that were paramount to my success, and I feel paramount to my students' success. Is number one, writing is an innate art form. It's an innate art form. I mean, I normally get people in my classes, retreats, lectures that literally have been wanting to write for 40, 45 or 50 years, if you can believe that, and haven't done well with it. And when they use the right techniques, they can begin writing as effectively or more effectively than they've ever written almost immediately. So it's an innate art form, and Aristotle seconded that. Aristotle said to live a full and complete life, there's a few things a human being needed to do. And one of the things a human being needs to do to live that full and complete life is write a book. Because he understood the spiritual significance of writing a book. Because when you write a book through a connected communal type state, you're connecting directly with God. And when you connect directly with God or whatever you want to call it, he, she, or it, and that comes streaming, that energy comes streaming through you, a lot of things happen. Life changes. You get to see the world the way God sees it. Most of all, you get to see yourself the way God sees you, which is rather intimidating. There's that old saying about, gee, I wish I could be the person my dog thinks I am. Well, when you write a book, you get to see what God thinks of you, and you wish you could be that person. You do your best to be that person, but it's difficult to be that person because God thinks so highly of you. Most of us just don't have that great of a self-opinion. So writing is an innate art form. Second thing I want to mention, Lou, less is very important. If anyone out there has been trying to write for a short period of time, a long period of time, doesn't matter what period of time, and you have not been met with the success that you aspire to, there is nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't blame it on yourself. There's something wrong with the system that you've been taught about writing. See, Les, we're taught that writing is a cerebral art form only. And a very small slice of writing is cerebral in nature, a very tiny, small slice. And most of that deals with revision, not actually writing. Writing, in its reality, writing is a holistic art form that embraces the spiritual, first of all, the spiritual, second of all, the emotional, third of all, the physical, fourth of all, the mental aspects of the human being. So if you try to write only from a mental point of view, that's like trying to drive a car with three flat tires. I mean, it just isn't going to go anywhere, man. But when you entice all four of those aspects of the human being to come into the experience, and for that experience to come through all four aspects of that human being, it works. I mean, I have people that come into my retreats and classes and lectures that have had writer's block for over a few decades. And within 20 minutes, I can turn them around and get them writing better than they could ever written before, simply by bringing all four of their aspects into one flow, one connection with the divine author within. Third thing I want people to know is, if you want to write, if you really want to write, the reason you want to write is because there is a book stuck inside you trying to get out. That book. And the New York Times believes that 81% of Americans have a book stuck inside them that they need to get out. That book is spiritual in nature. You wrote it on the other side of life before you were born. That sounds a little unrealistic, but Les, I've worked with over 85,000 new authors in the last 32 years. I've seen tens of thousands of them produce a book in my company. And I've never once taught anyone how to write a book. I taught them how to connect with the book that's already inside them. So if you just take a moment and embrace the potential that there is a book stuck inside you that you have to get out, stuck inside you, it takes away a lot of issues. You don't have to create a book, which most of our resistance to writing a book comes through undeservability, because creation's a very awe-inspiring development in our lives. You don't have to create a thing. It's already written. You just have to release it. And when you release that book, Les, it comes out lickety-split. That's why I can teach the retreats I do about people writing bestsellers in a weekend, because when you tap into that book, it's spiritual by nature, so it comes out really fast. The average author at one of my retreats writes at a writing speed of 2,500 words per hour. 2,500 words an hour. So the average length of an American adult book is about 35,000 words. So as you can see, it takes about 14 hours to write your book. Now, logically, all of us would say, well, if I wrote a book that fast, it'd be crap. We assume that books are like wine. And honestly, Les, they are like wine. But what we forget is where wine matures in a bottle or a keg for a significant period of time, our books as authors mature on the other side of life, on the spiritual side of life, for lifetimes. So by the time we release them, they are like fine wines. And 98% of the mistakes 98% of the mistakes, in my estimation, that an author could make as a result of writing a book come directly as a result of left brain intervention. So when you write at the speed of spirit, you're writing so friggin' fast, the left brain can't keep up and can't interfere. So you actually download through this communal state with the Almighty your book directly on the piece of paper. And those are the three most important points I want to make. You know, what I found, Les, is, and I was a hard, logical studier as a writer, as an early unsuccessful writer. And really, I don't mean to defame the educational system, because they deserve all the applause in the world for working for too hard for too little. But in the area of writing, they've made a mess of things, man. 98% of what I've heard, read, or taught, or been taught about writing was completely opposite of what I found to be the truth. And so, you know, we all get to the point in our lives, Les, when you keep trying something over and over and over and over and over again. And finally you think, oh, what the hell, I'm just going to try the opposite approach. And then that opposite approach works. That's what worked with me. Tomorrow, I live in Sedona, Arizona. Tomorrow we start a retreat here in Sedona, Write Your Bestseller on a Weekend Retreat. We have 60 people attending on an in-person basis and about 30 people attending on a virtual basis. By Friday, we started tomorrow night, Thursday night. By Friday afternoon around 4, out of those 90 or so people that will be at the retreat, there will be about 15 that will be finished with their books, with the writing their books by Friday afternoon. By Saturday afternoon, the late Saturday afternoon, the second full day of the retreat, we'll have about 90% of the people that will finish the books at the, during the weekend be complete. Now, of 90 people that will attend this retreat, either virtually or live, we're anticipating that at least 85 of them will complete their books in the weekend. The last 5 are people that are writing books a little bit longer than the norm and need a few extra days. And what we do, Les, we don't even talk about revision, man, until, because we don't want to cloud their thinking and discourage them and by taking off another direction that, other than their writing. So we wait till they complete the writing of their books. Then we go into revision classes. We actually start the revision of their books while at the retreat. So I was kind of windy there and that long-winded, and that response wasn't of us.
Well, I really like what you're saying. When I write for my books, I know exactly what you mean. I can't type fast enough. It's like, and I let go of the idea of driving it. You know, when I wrote my first book, I'm sure you've heard the story, you don't write the book writes you, where you think you know what you're going to write about. You think, you know, your mind, you haven't started writing yet, and in your mind you think, well, I'm going to write a book about this, and then you engage the process of writing the book, and all this other stuff comes out of you, and it's like, I didn't know, wait a minute, this book is writing me as it comes out, and it's almost like it brings you along in the journey.
So like marriage, you know? You get married, you get the marriage runs the marriage, not the people that are in it. If it's going to be a good marriage, marriage makes out of you what it needs to be, what needs to be made out of you to make a great marriage. And the same thing happens with a book. And a book is a marriage with the divine. And you're right. You know, it's really unfair, Les. You know, we sit down to write a book, guys like you and me, we sit down to write a book. The supposed brilliant prose comes through. We have no idea where it's coming from. We're smart enough that we want to get it out of its way and let it have its way with us. And we get credit for writing great stuff when actually all we do is show up, sit down, shut up, and write, you know? Wow, what a great author. Well, no, I'm just a guy that wants to have a pleasurable life, and I know if I try to fight this force, it's going to hurt. I'm just a coward enough that I don't want to hurt, so I just give into it and let it go.
So you've worked with so many authors. What have you noticed with first-time authors? I mean, over time, so they write their book, they get it out there. How does it impact their life for them to show up and write?
You know, that's a great question, Les. And to be fully and completely honest, the reason I'm still teaching, the major personal reason I'm still teaching, is because I just love to see the personal transformations people go through when they write their books. I mean, I'm not concerned at all about people getting their books done this weekend. I mean, I've got a fail-proof system. It's final. We've perfected it. We've got a great team. They're going to finish their books. So that makes them happy. What makes me happy is the spiritual transformations, the personal spiritual transformations they go through as a result of writing their books. Now, I got to recall my Old Testament knowledge, but I remember when Moses went up to the mountain and got the Ten Commandments. He was gone like overnight or something for a few days, whatever. And he sat at the foot of God by the burning bush that came down with the Ten Commandments, the shortest book ever written. And so he was out hanging out with God directly for a few days, right? Changed the world, man. The Ten Commandments changed the world. Well, when you write a book at one of my retreats, Les, you're hanging out with God directly, not me, the God that I help you connect with, for 3.5 days. I mean, what happens is when that book starts coming through you, the white light energy of God starts entering into you, and it makes room for itself by pushing out of you your insecurities, your fears, your worries, your doubts, your healings, your wounds. And people, I see relationships healed. I see brand new people born. I see physical ailments born. As the book, the white light energy represented by the book, moves into and through and begins to inhibit the body and the soul and the emotions and the mind of the author. So I see huge changes, and that's what really turns me on. To be honest with you, I'm a spiritual teacher who helps people connect directly with God through their desire to write books. That's really what I do. I mean, it's great we get bestsellers. It's great we get careers out of this. It's great people go on to write multiple books. That's great. But what they really become addicted to is the unconditional love experience that they experience while they're writing their books through the direct communion with God through that book. That's what keeps them writing. Not the words on the paper, not the fingers on the keys, not the fingers around the pen. That's not what keeps them coming back. What keeps them coming back is how they feel, how they grow, how they change, and how they enlighten during the writing of their books.
Well, that's a good point, because you talk about in a weekend, you know, approximately 14 hours, whatever, to knock out a book. That's probably the most time they've spent consistently connected to spirit. And
yeah,
to have that connection is transformational, like you've been talking about. You know, when I started off my life as a broadcast television engineer, I was in my mid-30s. I thought for sure I'm going to be an engineer my whole life. And a cosmic 2x4 came along and cracked my heart open, my soul open, whatever you want to call it. And I realized my soul put me on the earth to learn about power. There's these weird things called television transmitters, and they make an awful lot of power. And that gave my Western mind, I mean, it took me a couple of years to figure out an intuitive way to understand what the hell was going on with these big rigs. And then my heart started telling me to write a book. And my that engineer brain of mine was, when my heart cracked open and all, and I kind of connected with all this unresolved, you know, karmic imprinting on my soul, that engineer mind had all this theory crap about how it all fits together. And I tell you what, when what I'm getting at here is, When you have an idea for a book, like you say, you have that book within you, and you have there's a general topic, there's, you know, kind of a context of it, and then when you belt that book out and get your understanding on paper, it releases it from your psyche. And this whole new level of understanding can show up. It's almost like I could really see like books lining up in a queue inside of somebody, and
yeah.
You can't get the second book out till the first book's written, and it every time you document that passion that you have in a book, whole new waves of information, of inspiration shows up, and you change as a person. Well, you know, like we've been saying, the book writes you.
Exactly. Well, Les, you know, the, your use of words is a very skillful. What I tell students is that they have a literary birth canal in them. And, yeah, they're sensing that they want to write a certain book right now, but that book may be third or fourth in line in that birth canal, and they've got to birth this first and second books first before they get to that third one.
Sure.
And to be honest with you, Les, since 2008, a lot of things have changed in our world since 2008. They follow the economy, as petrifying as that was, I think it was really good for us and helped people reprioritize what was valuable in their lives and what they really wanted to do. Since 2008, Les, I can honestly say that I do not remember a one-book author coming into my retreats. And I know that because the minute they finish their first book, they're instructed to come and see me. They finish the book, they're instructed to come and see me. I perform a short interview with them, a very short, less than 5-minute interview, to verify that their book is actually complete. And then we celebrate for about 15, maybe 17 seconds together. And then I give them their next bit of instruction, which is, okay, Les, congratulations on finishing your first book. Good job. We're all proud of you. Now, go put your butt back in the seat and start writing your second book. Now, 90% of the people say, I don't know if I have a second book. And I'll say, you have a second book. Go put your butt back in the seat and start writing. I don't know what I'm going to write about. That's good. That you won't screw it up. Just go back and sit down and write. And everybody that finishes their books at the retreat also begins a second book. And then they get amazed. Wow, there is a second book there. It's completely different than the first one. It's something I really want to write about. It's something completely different than I anticipated. Yeah, I know. I've heard that story before. Keep going. Just come and see me when you finish the second book. So I really feel that part of our evolution as a species and part of our evolution as spiritual beings and a big part of our evolution as a planet has to pass through a great gateway of personal enlightenment. And, you know, we can work at this personal enlightenment thing, chopping wood and carrying water all day long, and it takes a long time to do that. Or we can hire a truck and get a power saw and chop a lot of wood and carry a lot of water real fast. And this method to writing a book I utilize to write a book is just, it's like enlightenment on steroids. And where enlightenment is just, from my definition, my layperson's definition, enlightenment is personal understanding of who one's true identity really is. And because of the spiritual nature of the experience, I believe that people escalate their enlightenment by 20 or 30 years in the course of a weekend.
Well, nice.
Like one of those come to Jesus moments that people talk about.
So what would you say to the listener that's saying, well, I can't write a book. I don't know grammar. I don't have any writing skills. I mean, and who wants to hear what I have to say? I don't have any significant part of my life that would be meaningful to anyone. I mean, you know how your mind can kind of push your heart out of the way and take the steering wheel and say, we're not going to do this. You know, what would you say to that?
I'd say congratulations, you're an advanced student for my retreat. Because number one, you're humble. That means you're receptive. And you're willing to listen. You're teachable. Man, you know, when I was in big league baseball, I was on the inner circle of big league baseball for 5 years. I got to talk to the most brilliant minds in baseball, and I was trying to learn about life through baseball. And so I asked the best coaches and general managers and managers, you know, what separates a good player from a great player? And they all said the same thing, Les. They all said teachable. person's got to be teachable. To be teachable, you have to be humble. So what you're expressing to me is a person with a lot of humility. That means they're teachable. They can learn. That's great. Second point you made was, well, I don't know anything about writing. Thank God you don't know anything about writing. The less you know about writing, the better off you're going to be. You know, the hardest authors I have to work with are those with advanced degrees. The more degrees they have, the closer they get to a PhD or over, the harder it is for them to write because they've learned to go about it the opposite way to what the truth is. And they've begun to associate writing with publisher parish or academic review boards, which are just abusive in nature. And so the people that just stumble into a retreat say, you know, Tom, I kind of want to do this, but I don't know why, and I'm not really qualified to be here, and I, quite frankly, I don't know what I'm going to write about, and I'm not even sure if someone's going to want to read what I write. They thank God you're here. You're in the perfect place because you're going to set aside all your boundaries, and there are a few, only a few with you, and just going to give in to the experience and let the experience lead to where you're going to go. Those are the students that are easiest for me to work with. The people that come in less and say to me, Tom, you know, I've done a lot of work on myself, and I really doubt you're going to teach me anything new. So, but I'm going to sit here anyway. I'm like, yeah. If writing a book was so easy, they would have done it on their own. It's the people that are closed-minded that think they've done everything they can to succeed, but they haven't realized, don't realize that there's so much more that they can do to open themselves up. Those are the ones that are tough to work with, the ones that are humble, the ones that are shy, the ones that come with an open heart, open mind, ones that come that are uneducated in the English language. Those are the easiest ones to work with because they don't have the barriers up in front of them that most other educated people do. So before a retreat, I interview each person taking the retreat. And so I can kind of get a composite of what I'm working with. And I know who are going to be my students that are going to suffer the most. And those that are going to suffer the most are those people who have not given into the power of desperation and are overly qualified academically. Now, it doesn't mean I can't help them. It just means they're going to suffer. They're going to pay for their education a second time at the retreat through a very challenging 3 or 4 hours of writing that when everyone else is gliding along and enjoying this magic carpet ride, they're going to be sweating their ass off in the back room cussing at me. I just need to know who they are so I can quarantine them for the rest of the group.
I can see a little quarantine in the room. Well, so then how does like editing come in and grammar and things like that?
Well, you know, what makes books sell less is heart and soul. I mean, if you grab the New York Times bestseller list today and looked at the top 50 New York Times bestsellers, you'd see 25 of those books or would be deemed as extremely poorly written on a literary basis, just kind of proving the fact that what readers and Americans especially buy is heart and soul. Nothing can replace the voice, the language, the heart, the message, the inspiration of an author. We can get somebody to fix punctuation, spelling, and grammar. That's easy. But we can't replace the heart of the author. And a book writes itself. I mean, one of the questions I get often asked is, What about dialogue? I don't know if I know how to write it very well. Well, my response normally is, have you ever sat in a crowded food court in a mall at lunchtime? Yes. You know everything you need to know about dialogue because everything is embedded in your long-term memory, in your right brain, and then inspiration comes through that right brain, borrows from that experience what it needs, and creates characters, storyline, timing, chapters, whatever. So I don't really believe in editing. The term scares me. Editing assumes that we've written something poorly and we're going to save ourselves with dire embarrassment by changing it. I believe in revision. Revision is more along the lines of, you know, what I did was really good, but I think with a few tweaks here and there, I can increase my ability to communicate with my reader. And so we revise. And the reason I get people started on their second books as soon as they finish their first books is because revision, even though it's a lot lighter and easier than editing, is still left-brained in nature.
Sure.
So I need to have a touchstone
that my authors can tap into for every hour that they revise. So that's why I divide their revisionary hours into two segments, 15 minutes of writing on that new book, 45 minutes of revision. So that way the God experience, the God self, the author within, is always guiding the left brain as opposed to vice versa through revision. Because otherwise, if your left brain gets too involved in revision, it could take a heartfelt book, destroy it down to a grammatically correct piece of cardboard no one would want to read.
Yeah, you know, even certainly, no question, in when I do radio shows very much like this one, when you talk from the heart, when everybody on the air talks from the heart, I can just feel it, that the message, the resonance, if you will, is so profound. I mean, some guests like, well, here's the question, just ask me in sequence, and it's like mechanized. But when you drop into that heart space and writing, amen, writing's the same way. When you're sharing that life experience or that deeply felt component out of your own being, and you're dumping it out on the pages, and there's like you said, there's no analytical mind to be seen anywhere. That's there's elixir or something to it that just slips past the ego of the reader. And stirs the reader at a much deeper level than, you know, some kind of a analytical mental process, it seems.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the left brain, the logical mind, as you refer to it as, definitely has its place. But its place is not to write, not to express, not to feel, not to speak. Its job is to take care of logistics, making sure we show up on time, making sure we drive the car properly, we stop at stop signs, pay our taxes. That's what it's meant to do. But unfortunately, Les, you know, even though we're all born God-connected, every infant is born with a direct connection with God still apparent, we transfer that confidence in a God state to our parents. And our parents, to survive, in most cases, at some level, have had to be very logical.
Oh, sure.
So we become like our parents because we want to become like God, right? We become logical. But when we become logical, that leads us away from the innateness of the direct connection and communion with God. So what I help people do is utilize their desire to write books to return to that innate state and repolarize their lives and live from that God state they were born to live through. That's what I do. And, you know, to be honest with you, this is only a theory on my end, but it's something I see repeated over and over again. I've asked myself, why do so many people want to write books? I mean, there's only so many bookshelves in the world. You know why? In my meditation, what I got back was, it's not the book that matters, Tom. It's a direct connection that comes with the book that matters. The reason God wants so many people to write books is because they can receive that direct connection with who they really are through the writing that book once again. And that's the purpose of life, is to be as close to God, to be as much like God as you can while here. You know, this is this thing we call earth, the thing we call life, is like resistance training. You just bench press 200 pounds, they put another 25 pounds on, now you got to bench press 225. The job is to find your inner strength to bench press as high of an amount as you can before you leave this planet. And so if you can find God here, if you can find the God that you are here in this planet with so many distractions, so many pressures put against us to be something different, then you've gotten the opportunity to really know who you really are. And the writing of a book gives you that opportunity, Les. That's why I teach, man.
Well, it's quite evident that the compassion of your heart is such a core element to your motivation. I mean, it shows up in your words. It shows up in your story. So you have a unique perspective, and I just want to get an idea from you. You mentioned in 2008 when that train wreck showed up that people were shaken to their core, if you will, and kind of stirred at a very deep level. You work with so many authors. Do you see general themes coming out of people that are across the board, as far as like somebody might be writing about baseball, somebody might be writing about the banking industry? I mean, just a general theme from a personal perspective. What have you noticed?
Well, you know, Les, it's a very interesting point you make. I work with authors all across the world. My last retreat was in March. We had 93 authors attending and 15 different companies represented, so countries represented. So when I get to work with these authors, I see a cross-section of a portion of life that's seeking to move forward. What I'm seeing now for those heading into this retreat tomorrow, and I don't consciously go through my own preparation for a retreat. I spiritually go through preparation. Sometimes I get a little ill. Sometimes I get a little lightheaded. Sometimes I get a little this or that. Leading into this retreat tomorrow, I believe the theme of the retreat is rebirth and relife, and rebirth and being born again. And because I've gone through a lot of that myself, and I just recently, and I've had the opportunity to speak to every student that will be attending the retreat, and I get to know them, and I ask them, you know, why are you showing up? Well, I'm going through some changes, and it just kind of seems like I'm losing my old life and setting a lot of things aside that I used to think were valuable and realizing they need to be replaced by other things. I think my retreats are a reflection of the state of the planet. I think right now, what I feel right now is, as a planet, we're going through a phase of rebirth and restructuring our lives. And astrologically, that's supposed to be the case too. So it isn't so much a certain schematic theme that I see consistently across books as much as a general spiritual movement. Though there have been at times themes that have come through for about 6 months of teaching for once, at one time, I was getting a lot of mothers in who'd lost sons to being passed over. And I've seen a lot of that, but it's all about getting over, for that circumstance, it's all about getting over loss and realizing you never lose anything. Because in the case of those ladies, their sons all came to visit them during the writing experience. So every retreat is different, but I believe every retreat taps into where we are as a planet, as a people, and the people writing their books help escalate the movement of the planet and the people through the writing of their books and the direct connections they achieve. Now, at this retreat, again, we've got about 90 people or less. There's going to be children's books. There's going to be adult novels. There's going to be sci-fi. There's going to be how-to books. There's going to be nonfiction books. There's going to be screenplays. There won't be a consistent theme, literary theme to the books, but there will be a consistent experience that people go through, if that makes sense.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, you just said something that really talked to me, in the sense that I don't remember your exact words, but it was something to the effect of when people write books, they accelerate the transformation of our society. And so, boy, this, you know, I'm no win-winologist, but if you're sitting there listening to this show going, well, you know, I've been hankering about a book now for a while. Maybe I might ought get off my fanny and show up for myself. Not only do you transform who you are as an author, but like you just said, you accelerate the transformation of our human condition. And wow, what a service. What a, you know, and so you go to your desk, you sit down, you open up an editing program and you start wailing on the keyboard. There's so much service, so much just raw service to humanity, because You're connecting with spirit. You're conveying that spirit to the pages. The pages turn around and bring that inspiration to the reader. And everybody is touched by that process. You know, I got to think that it's touched you very deeply over the years as you see this process happen in front of you over and over and over again.
You're right, Les. I cannot deny that I feel like the luckiest man in the world, you know. When I'm teaching a retreat, when I'm preparing for a retreat, even after a retreat, I'm sitting in the ambiance of direct connection with God achieved by dozens of people. And it's cool to do that on your own, there's no doubt. But there seems to be a certain depth and weight that's achieved that goes beyond what a person can do on their own when you're in a group and a mass of people like we are. And, you know, I feel so fortunate that I can have such a huge influence on life by helping people achieve some sort of enlightenment through the writing of their books, and they help others and thousands of others, sometimes millions of others, achieve a similar enlightenment. And I know it all started with me getting down on my knees many 32 years ago and crying and complaining and then asking and receiving and taking the steps. And just that one simple night, man, when I was reduced to complete dissatisfaction of myself and frustration, desperation, just that one night, just that hour-long period, doing a little nervous breakdown and my pledge and my prayer, my whole life changed. And as a result of that, I think millions of other lives have been given the opportunity to change as well, too, through the reading of my author's books, through the influence of being in the author's hands and their companies and their presence. I consider myself the luckiest guy in the world to be able to do this. I mean, I don't recognize why I got the opportunity, and I don't feel I deserve the opportunity, but I am doing the best job I can with it, and it's supporting my family. I've got a place in this world. I'm making a difference, you know, and I'm making a difference less by just being me, man. It's so cool to just be who you are and make a positive difference on this planet. I owe all the credit to that one night that I asked God for help and was desperate enough to receive it. And I just feel very blessed.
You totally deserve this. You hear me? You totally deserve this. You're hitting the ball over the fence every time you swing the bat, and then you're doing it on a scale that's over the top. The pacing, the volume, the integrity, the authenticity of everything you're about just speaks volumes of who you are. Don't undersell yourself as a deserving soul. You're so owning this in such a graceful, just a absolutely graceful, humble, and very, very, very powerful way. It's quite evident your heart is front and center in everything that you do.
Thank you, Les. To be real honest, I'm doing what I feel God wants me to do. And if I don't do what God wants me to do, it hurts.
Sure.
So I just like to, you know, I want my life to be a pleasure, man. I want to have a good time while I'm here. And I'm just been lucky that I've been entrusted with such valuable information.
I think you're doing a great job. Well, time really flies. That's I want to make sure we get connected with you. Tell our listeners how they can connect with you either virtually or physically, and what methods you have to work with them.
Thanks, Les. Yeah, they can find out virtually anything they need to know about me through tombird.com, which is my website. My office is area code 928-821-6946. I offer approximately 8 retreats a year that people can attend either on a in-person basis or virtually. I make about 40 speaking appearances a year. I'll be up in Colorado, for example, in August, giving two or three speaking appearances. And I do a lot of webinars, and I do a lot of talk shows. And everything that I do is listed on my website. So if you want to find out if I'm coming next close to you somewhere in person, or you'd like to see me, you can find that on my website. If you'd like to know if I'm going to do a talk show, it's on my website. I give a lot of instructional webinars. It's on my website. See, I feel blessed to have this understanding, Les, but I don't feel this is my inheritance that I'm sharing. I'm trying to share our inheritance with all of us. I believe it's all of our options to be able to write books and achieve the enlightenment and success, human success that comes with being an author. So I do the most I can to get this information out as freely and as quickly and as openly and as aggressively as possible so people can find me and so they can find themselves as a result of finding me. And when they're finding me, I think they're finding the information that they seek to find themselves.
Well, very well said. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for being on the show. You're such a class act. I'm very impressed with what you're doing. Thanks for being our guest tonight.
My pleasure, Les. Hope to see you again soon. Thank you.
We've been talking with Tom Bird, and the topic tonight has been Write from God, Write Your Bestseller in a Weekend. You know, there's something that happens when you show up for that inspiration, that inner inspiration that we all inherently have. And when you can make a habit of listening to that inspiration and then following it up with action, it's like flexing a muscle. A lot of times we can get caught up in our heads and our minds so flipping busy that the inspiration of our heart and our soul can't find a place to land as far as our minds are concerned. And so we don't really end up taking any action on the desires of our heart and our soul. But every single one of us has that inner well of inspiration. And when you learn to recognize it all throughout your day, when you kind of stay tuned into your heart and your soul, as you go throughout your day, you have your heart and your soul showing up for you. If you stay in your mind, the mind tends to be analytical. It quantifies. It wants to know the outcome of everything. And so if you only live in your mind, I like the way Tom put it, you've only got one tire on your car and the other three are flat. But when you take the time to honor your own inspiration and then show up with action, big things start to happen. Hey, you know, you listened to this episode tonight, and kudos to you for doing just that, because you grew yourself. At newhumanliving.com, when you go to travel or even commute to work in the morning, you can just dial up newhumanliving.com on your phone and find an episode you like and listen to it while you drive. We've had some really powerful guests, and Tom Bird's an example of that. The compassion of his heart is quite evident. When you show up for yourself and honor the truth of who you are, you change. You grow yourself. We're here to understand the truth of who we are, and every single one of us, through the power of our heart and the vision of our soul, can do incredible things. It's been my pleasure spending this time with you, and I want to thank you again for showing up for who you are. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.